Trio Circular. Maybe you should say it, Claudio, since my ability to pronounce it is not very good.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Claudio. So nice to have you back on Calvos and Damian. I was just saying to our audience that the last time we spoke to you was at Dartmouth, and Larry Polanski was your translator. And since then, you have learned English, so that's excellent for us.
I learned a little bit for years, but I have no one to practice with, you know.
Yes.
Because here I speak all the time Spanish, and the only language I use daily, every day, you know. But it was nice to learn a little bit to can communicate. Even with mistakes, you know, if you can help me, I can do that.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about Trio Circular?
All right.
Tell us about the composition.
All right, I understand. Yes. In 1998, 1999, I was commissioned, or I was asked, for make a trio for a Cuban trio that played there in Cuba, in another country, you know.
Yes.
And I accepted the challenge, and I made this piece in two parts. You got the first part because it has two parts, the first and the second. I decided to make a like inspiration based in a poem by Tristan Tzara, the Dadaist poet, you know. The title of the poem was Viaje Circular por la Luna y por el Color, Travel,
yes.
Circular Travel for the Moon and the Color. The inspiration that I got by the poem, taken by that, was like a kind of music and Shostakovich way, you know Shostakovich?
Yes, of course,
I love that music, but I thought that it was a good way to make the background for the poem, or to make a kind of a kind of programmatic
yes.
Base for the music. I think the music could be heard and the poem could be read at the same time.
Do you have the poem there, and could you read it to us, please?
Yes, the version I have here is it's in Spanish. It says, for example, the el ojo de hierro se transmutará en oro. In English, it could be the iron eye could be made in gold. The brújula, I don't know in English.
Okay.
Over the violin at the Tower Eiffel, a sparkling of stars. The oil goes pack and crystallizes symmetrically in everywhere. Lemon, the coin of 10 cents. Sundays took God lightly down. The rain. The newspaper to the north, more or less like that.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It's such a beautiful composition. It helps to know the inspiration behind it.
I think that was a change in my life as a musician, because over the 90s, I discovered that so much, you know, academicism, work with the students and could be not good for composition. So I decided that took Dada like bass to make music or make other kinds of words. For example, I love music theater or performance, or I did performance.
Yes.
I worked as a humorist in TV, and since 20 years ago, you know, even now I am doing works for TV and working as a humorist. Yes.
It sounds like you have had a considerable success since the last time we spoke, and I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Thank you very much.
So thank you very much, Claudio, for joining us on our special anniversary edition. We enjoyed the music very much, and still one day I hope to get to see you in person in your country.
It would be nice. I think then I was there was a big change in my life, because after that visit I was in Germany, I was in Canada and Australia and other parts of the world, but I dreamed to go back to the States because it was a very nice experience with Larry.
Yes.
An excellent person. It was the possibility to play the guitar, because I loved that instrument. And the impression of that travel was like a very, very big change in my point of view of the things in the music. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Claudio. Till next time.
Till the next time.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Maybe it's time for a brief shout out to Larry Polansky for those people who don't know him and his history.
Yeah, Larry Polansky taught for years at Dartmouth College in the electroacoustic music department. He was chair of it for a while. He's now out in California. I have forgotten which of the schools out there he's now
teaching.
Back
to Mills, did he?
No, not back to Mills. He's I'm totally blanking where he is, but he's having a wonderful time. He's loving it back out in California. He's really sort of at heart this very, very warm California boy. And so UC Santa Cruz, we're being told that, John Levin knows more than we do. He's out there holding up a sign that says Larry Polansky, UC Santa Cruz. That's great. Yeah, Larry is also a publisher, runs Frog Peak Music, which publishes manuscripts, books, published compositions of many composers and avant-garde writers, and he's just he's a big bear of a guy. I mean, that's the other way I think of him. He's a very warm-hearted guy, and spends a lot of time working for other people. Very great guy, Larry Polansky, and he introduced us, of course, to Claudio Kalmans, who we just spoke to in Argentina. Okay, so
we have about another 30 minutes left.
Yes, we do. We have a little bit of an extension, and we're going to try and catch our next guest. That would be Dean Rosenthal. And since I was a little bit behind here, I hope I can catch him. Here he is. He says he's online, so let's call him and see if we can get him in. Dean Rosenthal.
Hello?
Hey, Dean, this is Dennis and Kalvos and Damien and David calling you.
How are you doing?
All right, good, fantastic.
I seem to remember Rosenthal and Guildenstern are no longer dead.
Well, but not this one.
Yeah.
He's very much alive. In fact, he sent us three pieces to play. So, Dean, what have you been doing? What's new? What's exciting? What kind of composition
have
you...
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Do
I'm
it.
On Martha's Vineyard.
No.
Moved to Martha's Vineyard a couple of years ago. I'm an agricultural fair right now. I'm standing in front of a racing pigs event. So
eating cotton
when
candy.
When we first got together, we met up at Larry Polansky's Composer Larry Polanski's up in the Dartmouth area.
Or was. He's moved to California.
So today, you know, here I am. I'm off on an island out at sea.
All right. So what? Aside from that, what have you been doing musically? And tell us about these pieces that you've sent us.
I don't know. Is that really interesting?
Of course it's interesting, you know. Except that you didn't tell us what you were eating. Now, if you're going to a fair, that's the most important part.
Well, we just finished some, let's see. We had some Jamaican food, some plantains, and
Yeah, Skype, eh?
Oh, we've lost him. We've lost him. So I'll tell you,
whatever he was eating,
while we're getting him back,
the best of him.
While we're getting him back, let's play the first of the pieces he sent. This is there's two movements. Let's play Duplets Movement 1. This is by Dean Rosenthal.
Duplet tiling, fifth order, tempo 5-4-3-2-1. Solution 1, ordered by entrance. 1, 5, 1, 5. One, two, three, five. 1, 2, 3, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
8 seconds, and we're coming right back on air.
It seems like I have plenty of service where I am.
Okay, so. Here we are. We got Dean back on the line here. And we played first movement of Duplets we just played. And so catch us up on your work and a little bit about what we just heard.
Sure. What did you just play?
Duplets.
Duplets, right.
Movement 1.
So, since we last touched base, I've been focusing a lot on mathematically oriented music, sort of apropos the studies I took with Tom Johnson in 2008. And I've also been interested in putting together field recordings and a couple of digital pastiches. So, for Duplets, what I did was I focused on I wouldn't exactly call it a phenomenon, but something that Tom termed, or that actually a lot of theorists were working on, called rhythmic tiling. So what you heard were proportional tiles that were put together rhythmically and melodically. That's sort of a general kind of way of describing that rhythmic tiling, and they're called duplets because they're in twos.
Does this rhythmic tiling bear any relationship to the old school of total serialism?
I think the only relationship that might be able to be made there would be the connection. I used a chromatic scale, full chromatic scale, in writing the piece, and so what happened in the tiles, you ended up with the notes that were, you had one note per tile, and you did end up with a full chromatic, but I think in general, that was just a compositional choice. So, no, I would say that that rhythmic tiling doesn't have to do with the total serialist.
Yeah, well, I was just curious because there was the association between rhythm and pitch in your series, and there's a mathematical association here. I'm grasping, I think, between rhythm and pitch here. And I know it's a stretch, but I'm trying to find some way of in which we can translate this for our listeners.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you. I did assign, you know, what you heard were numbers and pitches, and so, but it's really the numbers that are at work, and the numbers, the pitches that are assigned to the numbers are, they could have been any pitches, so it wasn't like I was using a row or anything like that. What you do end up hearing, it's sort of like if you're looking at your bathroom tiles, or for those who are more into mathematical, recreational mathematics, something like the Penrose tiling, how you cover a particular geometric space without any spaces or holes. And that's what happens in rhythmic tiling, is that you have tiles that are equidistant rhythmically from each other. So if you have a quarter note and then a rest and then another quarter note and then a rest, and then there's another tile that's a rest and a quarter note, and a rest and a quarter note. If you put those two together and you stack them on top of each other, you just get a set of four quarter notes. And that's, you know, a mundane example of that. But that's kind of what's going on. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, it does. Let's listen to the second movement of this, and we'll come back to you right after because it's only a minute long, and see if our audience gets this. Be right back. Here it is, Duplets, Movement 2 by Dean Rosenthal.
This is a duplet tiling of order 6 now. This is a duptile of order 6 now. This is a dup of the 6 now. This is a the 6 now. This a 6 now. This 6.
Duplets, the second movement by Dean Rosenthal. I think that it becomes clearer in that one than the first movement, at least to my ears.
I'm going to agree with you, Dennis.
Because if you disagreed with me, it would take another 5 minutes.
I will leave it to the listeners to make sense of. And, you know, hopefully they liked it. The idea is that the mathematics, or rather the music, transcends the mathematics.
Sure.
In the end, it is music. It's not math that we're listening to.
Right.
So that's the goal.
Let's listen to Path. Tell us about Path, and then we'll go to it. I'll say our thanks right when we get it past your description. Path.
Terrific. So with Path, it's sort of based on that same idea that the mathematics is the underpinning, but that the music hopefully transcends what the math is doing. What happened in Path was that I took the 24 permutations of 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those numbers together, you can create 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 4, 3, 1, 3, 2, 4, 1, 4, 2. They keep going. There's a total of 24 of them. That's it. No more, no less. What I did after that was I drew a geometric figure connected all of the permutations within the figure to sort of, it was a drawing. It comes with the score. And then I assign notes to each number of the permutation. And as you follow a path, which is geometry and graphs, termed a Hamiltonian circuit, you follow a certain path. You don't repeat any permutation. And it came out of the drawing. So the path is the path around the drawing that covers every permutation. And the pitches were chosen as part of just a set of intervals that are logically consistent. Hopefully that will give someone who is brainy and into that kind of stuff some idea of how it was put together. But really, it's the music that we want to listen to.
Of course. I love the brilliant explanation, though. That's great fun. Have fun at the fair. Dean Rosenthal, guest on Calvus and Damien's 20th anniversary special. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you. Thanks.
And here it is. You are listening to Calvus and Damien's 20th fabulous anniversary program on WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick.
And that was Dean Rosenthal's Path. He's always fun because his explanations take longer than the pieces,
they
and
do.
He says it's about the music. And of course it's about the music, but I love to put him through the twists and turns of all that. So we have in the studio here Beth Griffith and John McGuire.
It's about time.
They were out enjoying the Vermont sunshine, and at 3 o'clock came and went, and it's like, where's Beth and John? No, nowhere. They're outside having hot dogs and beans on the open campfire and enjoying the life leaning against the pup tent. Welcome to the show, Beth Griffith and John McGuire.
Hi.
Yeah.
So, look, you're on the concert tonight. We have a great concert tonight. It's just absolutely amazing. Runs from 7:30 to 10. It's going to be here in the studio on WGDR's The Pit, or what we call Studio Z.
And if any of you are in the area, please come. There are seats now available.
Still a few seats left, yeah. And one of the pieces on the program is one of, and, we all have our, piece that's the equivalent of Paco Bell's canon for our composer. and John McGuire's a cappella is for me his Paco Bell canon. It's a piece I cannot get over listening to over and over again. It's an amazing and remarkable piece of composition and beautifully performed. Well, okay, tell us how it's put together and, of course, how you and Beth, how you perform it. So, John, how does it put together?
Well, it's put together out of samples of Beth's voice that are used to accompany her live voice. So what you have is like what we used to call a playback tape with four layers of Beth's voice. When she sings with it, she adds a fifth layer, which exchanges back and forth with the pre-recorded material. So she's exchanging now with two of the voices, now with two other voices. As I said, four voices on the tape. When she exchanges with one set of two voices, they continue, those two voices continue while she exchanges with the other set of two voices. So these exchanges, as I call them, overlap continuously. And this is supposedly what contributes to the flow of the piece. The goal of the compositional exercise being as much flow as I can.
And it certainly is that. I mean, and yet the piece has this energy that moves forward, not in a kind of a pulse minimalist manner, not in that kind of regular thumpy way, but it almost is like you're looking at a wheel turning, and as the wheel turns, the patterns of the wheel are constantly changing.
That may well be true.
From a listener's point of view, I mean, that's, you know, and it's not a short piece. It's about 20 minutes long, and it would seem like, well, if exchanging voices is all that's going on, you know, I'm going to go take a nap. But it's not that.
Well, there are a number of things that are supporting this?
Well, sure.
This? I don't think I really can, but I probably should just say there are other things going on. Like, for example, there's a harmonic cycle that turns completely once during the piece. It cycles through 12 keys, so that even though she keeps coming back to the same material, it's never in the same key. The key just keeps moving, and it moves in a very orderly fashion around the circle of fifths. So the circle of fifths becomes a source of motivic material, which is in turn determining what she sings. So in a way, there's a mutual determination going on between the music and the singer. They're influencing, or you have maybe the illusion that they're influencing each other. I hope.
Now, Beth, who's singing this, is that what propels you in this piece, or do you have an entirely different thing that you have to go through in order to perform it?
Yes, tell them what bullshit I'm talking about.
No. I mean, well, I've gone through, every time I do it, well, every time I practice it, I go through a different thing. I always try and figure out what I listen to. So I've gone through the piece pretending that I'm the one who's triggering them. I've gone through the piece where I'm just supporting, and my girls I've already taught them what to do, and I'm just kind of like, I just came to jam with them a little bit.
Maybe you should tell them what you mean by my girls.
My girls.
I like that.
because the original material was me going into the sound studio and singing from the as low as I could, just high as I could. And I was going to do all of the vowel sounds, but we only had time to do three. And then he made choirs of my girls. And so at first I always thought it was like me on the, because we got to go to South Africa one time, and I just picture like these groups of women on these mountains, and they would come and we would just be singing to each other in the South African landscape. And sometimes and then they would sing with me, and then they'd go away and keep doing it, and I would do it the high girls, and then the ooh wah wah girls would want to come back in. So that was me and my girls. But sometimes I think about that, but the thing is, you have to be very precise, but it has to be a game. Music has to be fun. It has to be joyous. There has to be technique. It's like when you see a beautiful dancer, they have a beautiful body, but you want that to you want to be intrigued by their technique. So I try to have this beautiful piece be the beautiful body, and they try and the technique of the rhythm and the pitch changes just so that it just makes something just to listen to. It's kind of like a person who heard the first performance, this wonderful Dutch guy, said it was like the Oermusik, like it was running like primitive music in the most fantastic form. That, I feel like that sometimes too. But I would just like everybody to get their own picture, which is...
And if they come tonight, they will indeed get their own picture. Really, our listeners that are nearby, please come tonight. And if you're not nearby, listen online. This is a really remarkable piece. The whole evening is going to be remarkable, from Todd Brunell, who's starting out with bass, clarinet, and piano. Eve Baglarian, who was here earlier, is going to be performing. Neil Rolnick, who's coming in doing some amazing work with electronics and transformations. Elizabeth Panzer on harp, I hope so, because we haven't heard from her recently. And, of course, right in the middle of this, Beth performing John McGuire's a cappella. Gregory Hall and Eleanor Sandreski, each will be playing piano, and David Morneau will be wrapping up the night with his pieces for Nintendo Game Boy. Beth and John, thanks so much for coming to the Calvos and Damien 20th anniversary. And everybody come back tonight. Thanks, everybody, for your help in putting this show together. And we'll see you tonight at the concert tomorrow from 3 to 5 for a special short electronic and international edition of Calvos and Damien. And now it's time for...
Best of the Bazaar, presenting listenable snippets from
episodes.
A lot of them.
About
31. I don't. Oh, I 31. Just no. Well, no. There are 31 times 5. So that's how many there are.
31 times 5. So that's 155.
Yeah, that's about right.
Oh God. Best of the Bazaar.
You ready to rip it up? You ready to rip it up? Here we go then.
But we don't want to wake up nobody.
Well, thank you.
I suppose you are wondering who I am.
My lips are sealed.
Godzilla!
Go ahead. It's about 6 feet long.
Over excitement.
Repeat again.
Yeah.
Orky Hodel.
Repeat again.
Orky Hodel.
Repeat.
Orky.
Repeat.
Okay.
Repeat.
Grudener.
What?
Stupismic.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you're a professional musician, huh?
Yes.
No one could hear anything but his nose.
Gradually.
Oh, it's so
wonderful.
Keep your hand on that hobby horse, hold on.
And it's fun.
And there's no business like show business.
Like show business.
Please me, says Rana.
Big brother hears you.
Xenakis's.
Elvis, we've eaten anything.
Hot peppers.
Of course.
Hi, it's B.
It's three.
Bino.
Every spring is a spring.
Anyway.
He was a
chicken.
I am soft and gentle, like a puppy dog's tongue.
Yo-ho-ho, yo-ho-ho, yah.
This is a very strange story.
No, it's
here we go then.
Do not think that's a good way of...
Yeah,
okay, that makes sense.
You know this, Chappelles?
Oh, okay.
There's no one who's ever seen us.
Including us.
Including us.
Especially us.
Here we go then.
And there are the songs from the radio, which are not so clear anymore.
I know it well.
It sounds very good.
Oh,
what cities and states?
You mean like the music you hear in elevators?
And on this particular broadcast, I want to get into it this way.
Good shrimp make good neighbors.
And we rock to the sound of the hoot owl.
Verily I say unto you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. This way.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Hear me.
That'll do it.